Today is the first Sunday of Lent. And the first Sunday of Lent, Lent as a whole, began in the church as a way to begin the final preparations for the rites that would baptize new Christians and accept people into the church. So these young men and women over here are going to be, some of them are going to be baptized, and some of them are going to accept full communion into the Catholic Church. So that's why Lent was originally created. It was created for that purpose. The rest of the story is that the Catholic Church basically said, you know, we, the whole church, should join these candidates and catechumens in their preparation so that on the day that they receive their baptism and are brought into the church, so that we can join them after having re-prepared ourselves and recommitted ourselves to the vows of our own baptism together. So today, as we begin Lent, I would like to just go over for a lot of us who are Catholics by birth, cradle Catholics as it's called, I'd like to go over what it is that Lent is meant to do and what it's meant to be. Because I tell you, every time Lent starts, the very first theme that comes across my mind is St. Teresa of Avila's little prayer. You've probably run into it because it's one of the plaques in the back of the church. St. Teresa of Avila was a 16th century, mystic saint in Avila, Spain. And she wrote many great things. She's called the doctor of the church because there are several saints that are considered, their teaching is considered so valuable that they are proclaimed doctors of the church. So Teresa said this, "From silly devotions and sour-faced saints, gracious God, deliver us." From silly devotions and sour-faced saints, gracious God, deliver us. For those of you who are candidates and catechumens, and of course for all of us, unfortunately, many times what happens with Catholic practices is people keep the outside, but they forget the spirit of with which it is supposed to be practiced. And that's where silly devotions come in. And what makes a devotion silly? A silly devotion is one that is disconnected from its original purpose and disconnected from the reality of the life of the person who is trying, who is practicing it. So it just stands there without much connection. The one that I always tell is my own, because it's just a silly thing that I used to do when I was a kid. Whenever Lent would come around, I would give up chocolate. You know, now chocolate had, I never misused chocolate. I just thought that giving up chocolate, since I loved it so much, that God was pleased by seeing me suffer. The more it hurt, the more God was pleased. And now you have to, as I got older, I started thinking, wait a minute, does this make sense? What would you think of one of your children who wanted to tell you that they loved you? And so they would come up to you and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to make myself suffer so that you know how how much I love you. Would you not get them psychological help? I would, because that's not normal, okay? Why? Because it seems disconnected. Now, let's say that something the same. For example, I hate mowing the lawn. Now I go up to my mom and dad and I say, Mom and Dad, I'm going to show you how much I love you. You know I hate mowing the lawn, but I'm going to do it whenever you ask me. Now, mowing the lawn's the same thing. You know, it's something you suffer doing. But notice what doesn't make it a silly devotion. It's connected to something that your mom and dad asked you to do. And you're doing it purposely. You're not seeking to suffer. You're actually doing something that you have been asked to do. So, as we approach Lent, when I used to give up chocolate, it had no connection to my life. None whatsoever. And so I would give it up. And of course, needless to say, when Easter Sunday would roll around, I would always go to Walgreens. And I would buy the largest solid chocolate bunny that I could find. And then I would eat it all in one sitting. Right? And then I'd get sick. And I'm sure God was very pleased. Watch me vomit. And say, oh, look how much Mario loves me. It's silly. So the very important thing is, when you do whatever you do for Lent, make sure that it is something that is rationally connected to making you a better human being, to better be what God is calling you to be. That it's not disconnected. Right? That when you sense that it has no real connection to you being a better human being, then that's what makes it silly. Always remember this. To me, this is such a standard way of thinking. We human beings, most of us think we're okay. We think we're normal. But the only reason we think we're pretty normal is that we're all screwed up in the same way. Right? So when you look at each other, you see, all these people, they're all messed up. I'm screwed up. I'm normal. Okay? The problem is that what we're doing is we're comparing ourselves to each other. And we're normally screwed up. But the issue is not, am I like everybody else? The comparison should never be between you and other people. The comparison should be between you and the only normal human being that has ever lived. Normal according to the norm of what God has created. And that is Jesus. I am 100% sure that what God did sometime in salvation history, I am sure that God looked down upon the humanity that he had created and saw that we had messed it up royally and that we were living in an infected, disconnected, and disjointed experience of humanity. That's what the church calls original sin. Original sin is not something you did wrong. It's the fact that humanity somehow has become disconnected from its original tie and its original way of being before God. And so I am sure that what God did, he basically said, you know that old saying, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. Well, that's when God himself became human. Because it was God's way of saying, let me show you what a normal human being is. And so when we are trying to choose the kind of human being that we're going to be in, by the way, that statement is a tremendous statement. I mean, don't you realize that we are the only animals on this earth that have a choice as to the kind of people we're going to become. Your dog or your pet or your canary or cat, whatever, they have no sense of any choice of the kind of pet they're going to be. They are who they are by their instincts. You and I are the only animals that have been made in the image and likeness of God. And we have a choice in the kinds of person that we're going to be. So when we're choosing, what is the standard of our choosing? And the standard of our choosing is not each other. The standard of our choosing is the image of the only normal human being, Jesus. Now, if we call ourselves disciples, and to me, this logic is so clear that I can't believe we don't see it, or maybe we see it and we ignore it. A disciple is a student. If you're a student, what is the course? And the course is how to be a human being the way God intended human beings to be, so that you are connected to God through Jesus, so that he can help you to become the person you were supposed to be before you became part of a messed up human nature. And so we're supposed to be students of Jesus. But sometimes I think, you know, what would you say of a person who said, well, I'm a student at St. Thomas University. Well, do you ever go to class? Once a week, but I try not to stay more than an hour unless the professor gets going. And do you ever study at home? Oh, no. Do you listen much at class? Nah. Nah, I just go to say present so that I don't get docked once a week for an hour, and I never study. What kind of student is that? You're going to flunk the course. You're going to flunk the course. Why? Because you're not putting anything into it. You're just going to class and saying present and then doing your own thing. And so during Lent is the time that the church says to us, look, it's important that we take the time to ask ourselves, how are we doing as students of Jesus? What can I do to become a more faithful imitator of him? And that's why I'm saying, that's why Teresa said, don't do the silly devotions. Check yourself and ask the question, what can I do to become the kind of man, to become the kind of woman that God wants me to be? How can I compare myself to the Lord and say, you know, I could grow in this or I could grow in that? And then do that rather than anything else. Now, as to, fasting and abstinence on Fridays, the particular way to understand that is that there's among all the things that we could be doing, each of us individually, the Catholic Church calls us to do something together, to make us remember that we are part of a community. And so on Fridays, although there's no obligation, we are suggested that we fast and abstain. There's no obligation, but you are suggested to. Now, there is an obligation on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. Right? Those are days of obligatory fast and abstinence. So for Lent, then, it is extremely important that what we do is chosen by your faith and by your reason. Okay? John Paul II wrote a tremendous letter to the church. So they're called encyclicals. And the encyclical's name is Fides et Ratio, faith and reason. And he made a statement that I've never forgotten. He said, the human spirit rises like a bird towards the transcendent truth of God on two wings. And the two wings are faith and reason. And so whatever you do, make sure you think it through and that it makes sense. You know, that's why when I started thinking through, well, what does it help for me to give up chocolate? Nothing. Because, first of all, I don't think I was abusing it. And second, on Easter Sunday, I went at it like a pig, you know, and got on to it. So it actually didn't do anything. And the thought that I was doing something and that God wanted to see me, you know, long for chocolate as if that was doing anything for me and to make me better, there was nothing there. And so as we approach this Lent, I think it's an important thing for us to make choices and to make choices of how are you going to spend this Lent? Are you going to be a better person at the end of this Lent? Or are you going to go back to being this person that you always have been, regardless of the kind of person that you've been? Or have you made yourself a better person? And the way to do that is to take a sober assessment of yourself. Okay? We began this Lent by Ash Wednesday, and I've always loved Ash Wednesday because it always reminds you that, you know, whenever we put ashes on your forehead and we say, remember, man or woman, that you are dust and unto dust you shall return, it's not meant to be morbid or, you know, for us to be sour-faced. It's meant for us to be realistic. And the realism is life doesn't go on forever. There is going to be, I have this image in my head of a spreadsheet. And every day I add a number as to the quality of the life that I have lived. And I keep on adding a number, a number, a number, the quality I have lived. But Ash Wednesday is a reminder, hey, there's going to be a day that someone's going to draw a line. And the question will be, so what did you add up to? What did your life add up to? Are you going to be satisfied? Or will you look back and see a random life that did nothing to make this world better than it was, that did nothing to make you a human being better than you were? And that's the whole point of that Ash Wednesday practice, to remind us, remember, man or woman, that you are made of dust, and unto dust you shall return. Like I said, not meant to make you sad, meant to make you real. And so as we begin this Lent, and as you guys begin this Lent, and move finally towards this, your baptism, or move finally towards your reception into the church, just be advised that within our Catholic community, there are some great people. But there's also a lot of wacky Catholics, okay? And be careful when you get, because some Catholics may give you some advice and it may be wacky, okay? If you ever get advice, and when you hear the advice of a very holy person, don't make mistakes, a person, you can have a very, very holy person who is as loony can be, okay? Looniness is compatible with sanctity. There has been some saints, because mistakes are not considered sinful. But so you could have a tremendous Looney Tune person that is super holy, and when they're telling you something and you're going to say, oh, this person is so holy, they must be right. Okay? Teresa of Avila, the same saint who was a mystic, she was asked, if you had to choose between a holy spiritual director or a learned spiritual director, which would you choose? And she said, a learned one. Because the holy one, they could take you a million miles an hour because of their enthusiasm. But if they don't know where they're going, they're going to crash into the rocks. Okay? The learned one might be, but at least he knows the lay of the land. And so always, if you hear stuff that doesn't make sense, use your head. If it doesn't make sense, then ask further, because you're going to find out something's wrong in that advice. But take this time. We join you on these 40 days as you come to the final approach of preparing to be baptized or to be received into the church. We're very happy that you're with us, and we will accompany you on this road.